Praise God. So you're welcome this morning, and let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious moment as we approach your word. You said one thing is needful, and that is to sit at your feet that we might learn of you. Thank you for teaching us out of the holy written word this morning. As the psalmist said, we pray this morning that you will open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Help us, Lord, also to mix faith with that which you teach us here this morning, so that we may not just be hearers of your word only, but that we may be doers as well, so that our profiting may appear to all men. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 15. Let us read together from verse 21 to verse 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Let's go. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen and amen. Well, we thank God for this passage. I believe we all know it by heart. But as we look at it again this morning, I believe God is going to teach us certain key things that we can apply to our lives as believers and have a clarity of understanding as to what faith is all about, the genuine kind of faith. You see, the Bible talks about the genuine kind of faith, and that is what God expects us to live by. It is possible for us, even as Christians, to come up with our own idea of faith and think that we are in faith. But you see, faith is not something that we come up with on our own. The genuine Christian faith has its origin from Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. If we get faith from any other source apart from Jesus, it is counterfeit faith. It is not acceptable in heaven. So we are just wasting our time. It will be like burning a strange incense in the presence of God. It will be like Nadab and Abihu, even though they were priests of the Lord, but they were burning incense to the Lord with a fire that was strange, Bible says. So the incense was strange because it was lit from a wrong place, so to say. God had given instruction, if you are going to burn incense, make sure you light it with light from the altar. But they decided to light it with another light. And God rejected the offering, so to say, that they brought unto him, and they dropped down dead right there in the presence of the Lord. Thank God that his mercy is keeping us in these days, because we are living under a better covenant than the old covenant. So people are not dropping down dead as fast as it used to happen under the old. But that does not mean we should take God for granted, because even under the new, we read about some people that dropped down dead, you know, when the church started. Remember the couple that decided to lie to the Holy Spirit when they sold their land, instead of being honest to say, well, we sold our land, but we can't bring all the money. We need some for ourselves. We can only afford to give this much out of the proceeds of the land we sold. But they decided to, you know, show to everybody that they were, you know, doing like others, when they couldn't really do like those who are bringing all the money from the sale of their land. See, God wants us to be honest when we come to him at all times. So, but they drop down dead. What are we saying? Even though we are under the new covenant, we still have to honor God and respect him deeply as God who is holy at all times. But you see, what is important here as Christians is to know that the faith God demands of us has to be the one that has its origin from him. Now, put your finger right there in Matthew chapter 15. We'll come back to it. Let us turn quickly to 2 Timothy and see what Bible says here about the kind of faith that God expects us to walk in and to live by as Christians. Not just any kind of faith, but the one the Bible describes as genuine, unfeigned faith. That is what we all must live by. Second Timothy, from verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Hallelujah. Please underline your Bible the phrase unfeigned faith. In other words, faith without hypocrisy. That's what the word unfeigned there means. Faith that does not have any hypocrisy to it at all. Because it's possible for me to talk faith with my mouth, but then my heart is not established in faith towards God. That becomes hypocritical in his sight. And God never accepts anything that is hypocritical. God is a God that is pure and holy, true and through. He is light, in him there is no darkness at all. And he said, those who bear his vessel, they must do so in holiness. Why? Because without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. So God wants us to come to him with unfeigned faith. Say to your neighbor, God demands unfeigned faith. Not just any kind of faith. Amen. So now let's go back to Matthew chapter 15. And the only thing that makes our faith to be genuine in the sight of God is the word of God that we base that faith on right from the beginning until the very end. We don't say that we are in faith one moment and then we get out of faith into doubt or double-mindedness the next, and our faith becomes hypocritical in his sight. God wants us to start in faith, continue in faith, and finish in faith. You see, starting is easy for every one of us. When we have a need and we read the Bible and we come across a promise that addresses that need, we get excited. Oh, wow. Oh, how come I never saw this in the Bible? Praise God. I believe I have the victory in Jesus' name. But then if after a month or several months after that, nothing has changed. Perhaps the situation actually has gone worse. Oh, the tendency is for me to begin to doubt and to begin to wonder whether I really got revelation from God to start with, or whether really God is going to help me with this situation. And the moment I begin to doubt, I grieve the Holy Spirit in me. God expects me to continue in faith, to understand clearly that the Christian faith is not based on how I see my situation from my own human standpoint. When we are walking by faith as Christians, we don't lean on our own understanding. We just have to have the kind of heart that trusts in God and never ever doubts His word, no matter the situation. That is the genuine faith. That is the unfeigned faith which God expects us to live by. Now, as we look closely at Matthew chapter 15, we can learn some things from this Gentile woman. It is so remarkable that the woman that exhibited these qualities of genuine faith was not even an Hebrew. She was a Gentile. She was, so to say, not a covenant child of God. Yet, she allowed her heart to reach out to Jesus with the kind of faith that Jesus expected the Jews to live by. No wonder Jesus marveled at her faith and said to her, well, even though you are a Gentile woman, even though I'm not primarily sent to you, because the Father gave me a commission to go primarily to the lost sheep of Israel, but because you have come to me with what I'm looking for amongst the people of God, I cannot deny you. You see, that's the way of God. God is no respecter of persons. Bible says, if the unrighteous, they do the things that are consistent with the law of God, it actually shows that the law is written in their heart. And so God accepts them in that sense and blesses them for what they have done. Because you see, God makes His rain to fall both on the unjust and the just. If the unrighteous do something that is in line with the word of God, God will bless them. That's why you find sometimes unrighteous people are blessed by God even more than Christians, because they may be generous to the poor. And God is no respecter of persons. Bible says if you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord and God will repay you. And that word is binding as far as God is concerned. So if a sinner, so to say, because if you don't know Jesus, you are a sinner until you come to know Jesus and His blood washes you of all your sins. So if we say a sinner or an unbeliever in Jesus gives to the poor generously, well, God will bless that sinner, that unbeliever, and bless him with abundance, because His word says, whosoever gives to the poor is lending to the Lord. So we begin to see that God actually will bless every one of us when we live by the kind of faith that pleases Him. In other words, we live by His word. And so let's look closely now, and you may want to jot down some points to take home and meditate in. Now again, from verse 21, Matthew 15, then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, before we say something about that particular verse, particularly this verse 22, let us write these basic points down to take home and meditate in. Number one, we need to understand that the kind of faith that perseveres unto the end is the only one that pleases God. I mean, every one of us as Christians have to understand this very clearly so that we don't waste our time or fool ourselves, you know, thinking that we are in faith when actually we are not in faith at all. Our own definition of faith may not be consistent with God's own definition. So we have to learn from God. We cannot just give God what we think we should give him. We have to give him exactly what he demands from us. And we shall see that very clearly. So I'm going to go over that again. We need to understand that the kind of faith that perseveres unto the end is the only one that pleases God. No other kind of faith pleases God. So if my faith or your faith is not the kind that perseveres to the end, we need to change our ways. Go back to the Word of God and spend more time in it and get our hearts to be fully persuaded so that once we step out in faith to say, well, I'm believing God for this miracle in my life, we don't give up until the very end. That's why we have to find out clearly what the will of God is about our need. In other words, we have to find out what the Word of God says about it. Because if you can find the scriptures that addresses your need, then you know what the will of God is. The Word of God is the revelation of his will. And so you can stand your ground solidly on that. And if you want to give a title to what we are sharing this morning, you can put it this way: persevere in faith to receive help from God. Whether you need healing, whether you need breakthroughs, or whatsoever your need may be, God demands the kind of faith that perseveres until the very end. So whatsoever help you require of God, you have to give him this kind of faith. This is the only kind of faith that he accepts. Any other kind of faith is not acceptable in his sight. We shall see it very clearly. In front of that, please write this scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Let's turn there quickly. Put your finger in Matthew 15. And we shall come again and see from this account how this Gentile woman, this Syrophoenician woman, as Bible describes her, really exhibited the characteristics of faith that pleases God and got help, even though she did not at that point in time qualify to receive help from Jesus. Thank God for faith that moves the hand of God at all times, in every situation. If God finds faith, he will bless, no matter who the person may be. Now, Hebrews 10 verse 38, let us read together. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If we want to get it in context, we can pick it from about verse 35. So we'll see that actually God is talking here about when we start out in faith, we must continue in that faith until the very end and not give up because it's taken long, or give up because it seems not to be working. God demands that as we walk by faith, we keep walking by that faith until the very end. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, where Bible talks about the heroes of faith who lived before us, one thing Bible says about all of them is that they all died in faith. All of them died in faith. In other words, when they started to live by faith, they did not stop living by faith until they died. Isn't that powerful? They all died in faith. They didn't give up middle way in the journey of life and say, well, I've been living by faith now for so long, but nothing has worked for me. Well, I might as well forget about this faith business and try some other way. Well, they all died in faith. There is no other testimony that is greater than that for any of us to leave behind when we depart this world. There is no other testimony that will count in heaven other than to say, well, I came into this world at some point in my life, I met Jesus, and I began the walk of faith from that point onwards, and I kept that walk until the very end. Thank God, by His grace, I finished the race. I kept the faith. I am now going to receive my crown of glory, just like Paul wrote to Timothy towards the end of his earthly life. He said, Timothy, I have finished my course. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. In other words, I've kept the faith till the very end. So we have to have that mentality to always keep walking by faith until the end. So from verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. You see now, so in context, this is, the Bible encouraging us in a journey of faith to keep going. Keep going, keep going. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't slow down. Keep going. In fact, if there is anything we should be doing as Christians, it should be to step up higher and higher in our walk of faith. Never to come lower and lower. At least if you can't increase the intensity of your faith, make sure it doesn't diminish. We should actually be stretching ourselves to reach out for more of God. Pressing, as Bible says, to more of God on a daily basis. Now again, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, if somebody starts to live by faith and then they draw back from doing that, God says his soul will have no pleasure in him. So therefore we can conclude that the only kind of faith that pleases God is the one that persists or perseveres until the very end. Number two, the faith that perseveres until the end is the only one that is guaranteed to always receive help from God. There is no other faith that has guarantee to receive help from God other than the one that perseveres to the end. God didn't say, well, if you start out in faith and then you walk by faith for 1 week, then that's okay. Well, if the answer has not come after 1 week, what are you doing then? Are you giving up on God's word? Well, God expects you to continue in faith until the end. If you continue in your faith walk till the very end, you don't need any prophets to tell you that you are going to have a testimony to the glory of God. At the end of the day, weeping may endure for the night, Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. The problem with us is we don't wait for the morning to come. We don't wait for the morning to come. We are not patient enough. And we just read it in Hebrews chapter 10. From verse 35 there that we read it. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need. You have need. If God says you have need of patience or endurance, please don't think you can do without it. You have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive or obtain the promise. Because God will never fail to give it to you. And in order to receive it, you have to endure in that place of faith and never give up, no matter how long it may seem to be taking. And that is why the only kind of faith that is guaranteed to receive help from God is the one that perseveres unto the end. In front of that statement, please write James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and let's quickly look at it before we go back to Matthew 15. You see, if we all understand these basic things about faith, We will not, you know, waste our time doing something that is not profitable. Because we have to give God the faith, that the kind of faith He demands from us as His people. There's no point saying, I'm a child of God and I can't trust my Father in heaven. I mean, that's not right. Even you and I as parents, if our children can't trust us, we'll think something is wrong somewhere, won't we? How come then do we think that we can, you know, trust God for one moment and then doubt Him the next? Don't we realize that in doing that, we grieve Him. We grieve Him because He will be wondering, how come you don't trust me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I love you? Don't you know I care about you? Don't you know I've taken care of you eternally? Don't you know that I have great plans for you? Don't you know that I'm thinking thoughts concerning you, which are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end? Don't you know that I've loved you with an everlasting love? Who else can do you good like me? You see, that's what God will be saying to us, but we don't listen. To doubt God is a very dangerous thing for us as Christians. We must not get into that realm at all. We just have to settle within our hearts that we are going to believe God and persevere in faith until the very end. No doubt, no double-mindedness, no giving up. No matter how long it may seem to be taking, we are going to wait in faith and patience until we receive the physical manifestation, because God has already done it in the spirit. Now look at what Bible says here in James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. But to get it in context, I'm going to read from verse 5 so we can see that, well, this is the way of faith again. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now notice, when you ask, God will give. That is the rule. He that ask, Bible says, will receive. He that seeks will find, and he that knocks will have the door opened. So God never withholds any good thing from any of us. The problem with us is we don't know how to receive, because we don't persevere in faith to receive. If you are going to receive, you have to persevere in faith. God never fails to give, but you and I can fail to receive. It's as simple as that. Someone can say, well, take, here it is. But then if you don't stretch your hands to receive it, it's not yours. It's my intention to give you, but for you to have it or receive it, you have to stretch your hand and take it from my hands. And then it becomes yours. You see, God wants us to have every promise that is in His word, because they are all yea and amen through Christ Jesus. It is the Father's pleasure, Jesus said, to give us the kingdom. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In other words, everything that is in God's kingdom is ours to enjoy. But for us to receive, we need faith. We need the genuine kind of faith. Because faith is the only way the kingdom of God operates. And so, God will give when we ask. You need healing, you ask, God will give. You need wisdom, you ask, God will give. You need breakthroughs, you ask, God will give. You need deliverance out of your afflictions, you ask, God will give. But the key now is, do you have what it takes to receive? That's the question. So let's read on. Verse 6 then says, but let him ask in faith. Notice, when you ask, God will give. But there is a condition. You have to ask in faith. You have to ask in faith. But let him ask in faith, just any kind of faith. No, faith that does not waver. That's what the Bible is saying here. Nothing wavering. Asking the kind of faith that never wavers. In other words, when you ask in faith, don't doubt God. Once you have asked, don't doubt him until you receive it. Oh, someone says, but it doesn't look possible. Don't doubt God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, someone says, well, since the time I started believing God for that thing, it has gone worse. Don't doubt God. Because your faith will be tested, you see. When your faith is tested, Bible says it should come out purer than gold that is tested by fire, you see. The devil is going to try to turn you away from the road of faith. But you have to understand that faith never fails. So if you keep holding on to faith, you will have a testimony at the end of the day. You see the key? That's why the Bible says here, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now let us read verse 7 together. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Ah, you see the key? Verse 5 says, ask, God will give. Then verse 7 says, if the man wavers, he can't receive it. Now, it's not that God has not given, but the man can't receive because he is wavering in his faith. So in order to receive, we must be steadfast in faith. We must persevere in faith. We must not give up. We must not doubt. We must not get double-minded. That means let us forget about our own intellect. When we are living by faith, let's just focus on the word of God. Oh, how about how it looks? It looks bad, you know. Forget about how it looks. God is the miracle working God. He can take what looks bad and make it look good. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. So don't reason with your human mind when you are walking by faith. Just trust God with all your heart and know that God never fails. You see, so nothing wavering. So if we waver, we can't receive. That is why the only kind of faith that receives help from God is the one that perseveres until the end. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 15 and see these qualities. We just run through them quickly and then you can go home, meditate on them. And then we'll see a couple of other examples in the Bible before we go today. All right, back to that Matthew chapter 15. Now look at verse 22 again. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Remember, this is a Gentile woman, not Hebrew. How then did she know that Jesus was the Messiah? How did she know that this Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah that was to come? So we can say this woman had revelation knowledge, not by any man, but by the Holy Spirit. The same way Jesus said, where flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. How did this Gentile woman know that this is the Messiah? And yet a lot of the Hebrews did not even know. Well, we see how God works, because God works with the heart. God must have seen something in the heart of that woman. Even though she was not a covenant child of God, God saw something in her heart and revealed the truth to her in the inward parts. There's another person in the Bible which we all know in Acts chapter 10 called Cornelius. You see, he was not a Jew. But he had a heart for God. And so God revealed the truth to him. While he was in prayer, God sent an angel and said, well, you need to go to Peter. Send for Peter, who will come and tell you what you need to do. I see that your heart is after me. I see all your good works. I see your devotion. Now I will show you the way of salvation. Hallelujah. So this woman had a revelation, but it was not enough to get the blessing. As we see in this passage, it was just the starting point. So if you say you're a Christian, you have a revelation of who Jesus is. That is not enough. It's just the starting point. The woman had revelation, just like you and I as Christians have revelation of who Jesus is. That's why we are following him. So please write that down. This woman had revelation knowledge of Jesus, but that is not enough to get help from God. Some of us think that because we are Christians, we can fold our hands and just get the blessing. Well, because you are Christian, you are going to go to heaven when you die. There's no doubt about that. But while you are here on earth, if you want any blessing from God, you have to live by faith. You see, in heaven, we don't need faith there. There is no faith in heaven because everything is a reality. We see God face to face. Everything is revealed plainly in heaven. But while we are here on earth, we need faith. We need faith. We need faith now in this life. We need faith to overcome this world. And so, having revelation of who Jesus is just the starting point of the journey of faith. It's the means to an end, not an end in itself when it comes to getting help from God in this world. So the woman had revelation. Number two, quality this woman showed. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Jesus did not even say anything to her when she was pleading with him and, you know, showing how she had revelation in Jesus. The Bible says Jesus did not answer her a word. Now, what was the response of the woman? Some of us, you know, are easily offended, particularly when we feel ignored somehow. Oh, I've been praying about this thing. Or maybe something is wrong somewhere. I'm not getting any answer. Oh, why is God not answering me? And then we begin to get maybe angry within ourselves. Sometimes you find some Christians even blaming God. God, why? Why me? Why are you allowing all this to happen to me? You see, if we really understand the way of faith, we don't question God. We just persevere in faith until the end. That was what this woman did. You see, she did not give up or get offended when Jesus apparently ignored her. Verse 23. So that's another quality of faith. Don't give up. Don't get offended when the answer seems to be taking long. When it seems you are praying, you've been praying, you've been believing God, but nothing is changing, don't give up. Don't get offended. Because the devil tried to get us to be offended. Maybe sometimes even get offended at some other fellow believers, thinking that they don't care. You know how many of us as Christians, for instance, when we are going through difficulties and, you know, we've been praying, we've been believing God, and we are not seeing any improvement, the tendency is for us to actually blame other believers for not caring for us. Have we not all been through that before? Sometimes we even blame the pastor. Say, nobody cares for me in that church. They don't even know what I'm going through. Nobody cares. You see, you are just failing the test of faith. This woman could have got offended and she would have lost it. But you see, she was not offended. Jesus ignored her. And yet the woman had revelation of who Jesus is. And she is saying to him, have mercy. And Jesus is not even answering her. But she was not offended. And she didn't give up. She kept following. Even the disciples went to Jesus and said, tell the woman to stop following you. She's making too much noise. But that woman never gave up. She didn't give up. So don't allow any offense to trip you up when you are walking by faith. Your focus should be on Jesus, not other believers, not even the pastor. Because when you are focusing on man, you'll be disappointed and offense will come. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, Bible says. Number three, quality of faith we found with this woman is in verse 24, Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, finally, Jesus speaks to the woman. Initially, he ignored her. Now, because the woman persevered, the woman refused to turn back. Even though she was ignored by Jesus, she refused to give up. She refused to be offended. She's still following him and saying, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." Then finally, Jesus engages her in conversation. But what Jesus said was not what most of us would have loved to hear in that situation. Jesus said, "It is not proper. It is just not proper for me to do this for you." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, woman, I have disappointment for you, because what you are asking me to do, I can't do for you because I've not been sent for people like you. At that point in time, some of us would probably have cursed him. You say you're a man of God. What kind of man of God are you? But look at the woman. So write this down. She did not give up or get offended when Jesus said she did not qualify for what she requested of him. In other words, it's not for you. I'm not sent for you. I'm sent for the lost sheep of Israel, the people of God, the covenant children of God, not for you. Now, what did the woman do next? So please write this down. Instead, she rose up to a higher level. Please notice that. That is what you need to do when your faith seems not to be working. When your faith seems not to be producing results, instead of getting offended or giving up or looking for somebody to blame, take yourself to a higher level of communion with God. Press in to more of God and say, "Well, I'm going to draw closer to God." That was what the woman did. She's been following Jesus. She's been crying to him by revelation knowledge. Jesus initially did not answer her. Finally, Jesus says to her, "Well, it is not for you." In other words, stop following me. It's not for you what you are asking for. But the woman took herself to a higher level and did what? She worshipped him. Oh, I love that. She's not complaining. She's not offended. She's actually worshipping the person that said, "I'm not sent for you, I'm sent for the covenant people of God." She worships him. She worships him. Verse 25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" To worship means to lower yourself in humility in order to reverence someone that you put higher than you. Isn't that wonderful? That woman bows herself before Jesus, saying, "Lord, you are exalted. In my eyes, you are exalted in all areas of my life. I am nothing. You are everything. So help me." And that touched the heart of Jesus. That touched the heart of Jesus. That's what you need to do. When your faith is challenged, you've been doing everything right, but nothing seems to be working, draw closer to worship Jesus by your humility and obedience to him as the one higher than you. To say, "Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I don't care how long it may seem to be taking. I surrender my life to you because I know you are such a faithful shepherd. You will not fail me." That's what worship is all about. Instead of, getting anxious and, wondering why it's taking so long, why, questioning, and then you get yourself into double-mindedness and doubt because you are questioning God. And you allow the devil to come in and talk you out of faith. Just worship God. Draw closer and worship him. And finally, look at what this woman did. Verse 27. Let's read verse 27 together and please write this down. She demonstrated great humility and faith in asking for the crumbs. Oh, this woman really touched the heart of Jesus. Verse 27, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." In other words, this woman is saying to Jesus, "I'm not even asking you for what you said doesn't belong to me. What you said belongs to the children. Give that to the children. Just give me the crumbs. That's enough for me. The leftovers, the ones people don't want, I know what falls from your table is better than what I can get anywhere else. Just give me those ones." In other words, this woman is so humble to say, "Lord, whatsoever you are ready to give me, that's enough for me. I'm not fighting for what others want or what you have reserved for others. Just give me anything that you have for me." And that touched the heart of Jesus. A woman, this is great faith. The faith that humbles you to surrender totally to Jesus. To say, "Jesus, just have your way in my life." That is great faith in heaven. Say to your neighbor, the faith that humbles you to surrender to God's choice and dealings with you in your need is a great faith. Amen. So you are not the one choosing. You are saying, "Lord, just give me whatever you choose to give me. It's more than enough for me. I'm satisfied." The woman was ready to get the crumbs because she knew even the crumbs would be satisfactory in getting the job done in her life. And so Jesus said, verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, Woman, great is thy faith." And yet this is a gentle woman. "Great is your faith, woman. Be it unto you, even as you will." So what was the key to this woman getting help from Jesus? She persevered. Look at all the processes she had to go through. She starts out with revelation knowledge of Jesus. Jesus did not even answer her. She kept at it. She refused to give up. Finally, Jesus answers her by saying, "Well, I'm not sent to you, but to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman still didn't give up. She persevered. She persevered. And then when Jesus said, "Well, I can't take the bread that belongs to the children and give to dogs," the woman persevered and said, "Okay, just give me the crumbs." And she got what she needed from Jesus. Let's look quickly at another example. Because if you don't give up, if you persevere in your walk of faith, you will always receive. Key word, receive. Because God has already made the provision for you in the realm of the spirit, but you need to receive it here in this physical realm by faith. Faith that never gives up until the very end. Look at Luke chapter 5. Another example here we know very well. And this paralyzed man and his friends walk in the kind of faith that pleases God. Again, that is the key. So don't just say, "Well, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith." No. Say, "I have faith that never gives up until the end." That's the kind of faith we should be walking in as Christians. Not to say, "I have faith today and then tomorrow, I'm not so sure again. Oh, I have faith today, then tomorrow I'm talking unbelief and doubt." That's not faith. That's hypocrisy. We have to be able to stand our ground and say, "I believe the word of God. No matter how long it may seem to be taken, I know it shall surely come to pass because the word of God will not fail. And I am going to stand my ground believing God until it comes to pass. I will die in faith rather than give up." And I tell you, that's the kind of faith. That's the kind of faith. We all know this account very well. Look at it from verse 17, Luke chapter 5. "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, And there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, and Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, notice the key, they couldn't find a way to get in. They came because they had faith that Jesus will heal their friend. But then they couldn't get to Jesus. No way through the door. The room is packed full. No way through the window. The room is packed full. Some of us would have turned back and said, well, we tried, you know. They would have told their friend, you know, we tried. We tried, but there's nothing we can do. We've tried our best. We are going to have to take you back home today. We'll try again another time. Maybe we'll find another place or another time when we can find room to get close to Jesus. We see those friends were genuine friends. And those are the kind of friends we need around us. Friends that will stick by us and really help us through our hard times. That paralyzed man couldn't carry himself, but those friends carried him. And when they couldn't find a way to get in, they did not give up. They must have thought within themselves, well, if we can't find a way through the door, and we can't find a way through the window, there must be a way somehow. Because faith always finds a way. Faith never gives up. We can't go back home. We came to meet with Jesus. We are going to meet with Jesus today by all means. Of course, the Holy Spirit must have seen their steadfastness, their willingness to persevere. And it gave them the wisdom what to do. How did they know that they could go on top of the roof? There was no record of any of that kind of situation happening before. For them to have said, okay, let's do it like so-so-so person did it some time ago. No record. That was the first time. How did they know? And how was it that when they went on the roof, the very tiling they removed was the exact one that was above Jesus? How did they know? Well, we see the hand of the Holy Spirit here because the Holy Spirit is searching our hearts all day long to see if we have the genuine kind of faith and to help us walk in it to the end. He is the Spirit of faith. So when he found the heart in those friends not to give up, he gave them the wisdom to go on the roof because they are not going to go back home. They want to meet with Jesus. And they are determined not to be denied that chance of meeting with Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit led them, guided them. The very tiling they removed was the exact one that was right above Jesus. They just lowered their friends down. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, so what kind of faith did they see? The faith that refused to give up. They did not go back home. Also, Luke chapter 18, while we're in the book of Luke, let's hear from Jesus himself what he said about faith. So it's not enough to just say, I have faith, I have faith. No, 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 no. Say, I have the faith that never gives up. Say to your neighbor, the kind of faith you should have is the one that never gives up. No matter the difficulties, you keep believing on God's word until it comes to pass. So we all know the account, so we won't waste time there. Jesus is teaching again about faith and prayer, and he teaches using this illustration, a widow woman, helpless as she was, because widows were helpless in those days. No one would care for them. But she knew that she could get justice from the judge, because that's what the judge is there for, to make sure that justice is done. But then Jesus said the judge that was in town then was an unjust one. But the woman did not allow that to deter her from going to him. And so she said to him, avenge me of my adversary. But then the judge would not grant her request. Jesus said the woman kept going back. We don't know how long or how many times she kept going back, but the woman refused to take no for an answer. You see, faith never gives up. Faith never takes no for an answer. Because faith knows that the word of God is always yea and amen. So it will never take no for an answer. The word of God is never nay, nay, nay. It is always yea, yea, yea. So when something is saying to you, well, you can't have that breakthrough, you say, shut up, devil. The word of God is yea and amen. The breakthrough belongs to me because God promises it. Oh, well, if the breakthrough is yours, how come you haven't got it then? Shut up, devil. I don't walk by time. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith because I know that in due season, it shall come to pass. See, that's why we have to understand that faith never gives up. So the woman would not take no for an answer because she was a woman of faith and she knew that what she was asking for was justice according to the word of God. And the word of God is always yes. So if judge says no, I will keep going back to that judge until the judge does the will of God for me. So the woman kept going back. And eventually the unjust judge had to give in to her request. Look at what happened then. Verse 5 says, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by a continual, keyword continual, continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord, verse 6, said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though it bear long with them? Though it seems to be taking long, Jesus said, God will surely, surely, surely come through for his own elect, who cry unto him day and night. So, faith never gives up. Faith never gives up. Faith perseveres unto the end. Faith knows that there is always a way. If you can't get in through the door or through the window, there is a way. God will make a way for you where there seems to be no way. If you have been praying and it seems nothing is changing, don't give up because you know faith can never be denied. Faith is always victorious. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. Faith is always victorious. It is always a victorious thing. Never ever to be defeated. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Therefore, there is no situation in this world that faith will not overcome. If you base your faith on the word of God and you are ready to stand your ground until the very end. Until the very end. So therefore, what else do we need as Christians other than to imbibe that quality of genuine faith? It never gives up. It never gives up. The Gentile woman did not give up. The paralyzed man and his friends did not give up. This widow woman did not give up. And all of them had their testimonies to give of how God was faithful to them. And you will have your own testimonies to give. Because God is faithful. If you don't give up on his word, it will not fail you. His word will come to pass. His word will come to pass. I want to open quickly to Luke chapter 22. And let us use this to pray this morning before we go. You see, if our faith does not fail, we will see the hand of the Lord prevail. no matter the situation. The key is not to give up. The key is to keep standing your ground in faith on God's word. That is the truth that we all must know as Christians. Faith overcomes everything. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You know, many times we think we need to do some other things to get the victory. But I tell you, you don't need any other thing to get victory in this world other than walk by faith that never gives up until the very end. Other things may fail, but faith never fails because the word of God never fails. Thank God for that. Now, verse 31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Look at verse 32. I have prayed. I have prayed for you, so that your faith doesn't fail. In other words, so that your faith perseveres till the end. Your faith continues until the end. Your faith doesn't give up. Because you will win, and then you'll be in a position to help others know that the way of faith is a way of victory. The way of victory at all times. I want you to humble your heart right now under the hand of the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He's praying for every one of us as his people, like he prayed for Peter. And simply talk to him, because he's the author and finisher of your faith. Say, "Lord Jesus, I know you are praying for me in heaven. You are interceding for me. And I humble myself right now to ask you to help me like you helped Peter, so that my faith doesn't fail. In the name of Jesus." Just go ahead and pray that prayer from a sincere heart. Jesus knows how to help you. He knows how to help me. Man cannot help you. Man cannot help me. But Jesus, our faithful shepherd, will help us. Bible says, "Unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." See, he alone can keep us from falling. He alone is the only wise God, our Savior. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us to save us. The only wise God, our Savior, to whom be glory in the church. We are his people. We are his body, his church. He wants to glorify himself in our lives. We are his house of glory as his body here on earth. So look to him this morning. He knows how to strengthen you in your faith walk and help you not to fail. He has been through it before. Bible says we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has been tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he is able to help us. He is able to save us to the uttermost. As we come to the Father through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. If we prayed for the faith of Peter, and the faith of Peter didn't fail, he knows how to pray for your faith and my faith, so that our faith also will not fail. Just humble yourself like that woman, that gentle woman did. She humbled herself. She worshipped him and surrendered all to him and said, "Just give me whatsoever you have to give me." That's humility. And I know Jesus knows how to strengthen our faith. Hallelujah. If you've prayed that prayer, thank him. Thank him. It's a simple prayer. but it's powerful because it is a prayer said in humility. And God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. If we humble ourselves under the hand of the Lord, He will exalt us. Bible says. He will exalt us above all our troubles. He will exalt us above all obstacles in life. Humility is the key. The gentle woman humbled herself and got from Jesus what Jesus said was not for her. How much more you and I, who are children of the kingdom. Everything in the kingdom belongs to us. If the woman could get help by humility, we'll even get much more when we humble ourselves. She got crumbs by humility. We will get the bread by our humility. See the key? But God is no respecter of persons. He just wants humility. That's all. That's the nature He demands from us. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. It is pride for you and I not to submit ourselves to the word of God. It is pride for us to think that the word of God will not come to pass in our lives. It's pride for us to think that we can get our needs met another way other than the way of faith. Faith and humility go together. It flows from a heart that is humble to the word of God to say, I trust God that His word will never fail. He's not a man that He should lie. I know and I'm fully persuaded that He will do what He has promised to do, no matter how long it may seem to be taking. I'll wait patiently for Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping our faith here this morning. Thank you for bringing us faith to live by and helping us to live by it steadfastly, to persevere in our walk of faith until the very end. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessings you release upon everyone under the sound of my voice here this morning. At every point of need, they have come to look to you and to ask help of you. They have heard your word. They have responded in faith and humility. And now, Lord Jesus, thank you for glorifying yourself in their various circumstances. Thank you for making the joy of everyone full, as you, by your right hand that does valiantly, minister to them at every point of need, to turn their circumstances around for your glory and for the fullness of their joy. In your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ, name above all names. Thank you for doing it, Lord, now and always. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.